You're listening to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. In recent weeks, we've seen headlines proclaiming water on Mars and the moon. We tend to think of water, whether it's liquid or ice, as being relatively rare in our solar system. But what if the universe were full of watery worlds? That's what some new research is suggesting. Li Zeng is the Simons Postdoctoral Fellow in the Department of Earth and Planetary Sciences at Harvard University. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're talking about exoplanets here. So let's just step back and define what are exoplanets and how many have we found at this point?
So exoplanet is an abbreviation for extrasolar planets. They are planets orbiting around other stars because our sun is just a very normal, very ordinary star. So it's now believed that every star in the universe likely has its own planetary system. So the planets are very, very common, as common as the star, at least, probably many more.
Wow. With these recent announcements about water on Mars and on the moon, I mean, right next door in space terms, it's taken us till now to figure out that there might be water on the moon. How can you possibly know whether or not there is water on these planets that are way outside our solar system?
So the water in the inner solar system is pretty rare, but the planets that we found, they are larger than Earth somewhat. They are typically range in the size of 2 to 4 times the Earth's radius. So these are larger planets, and we measure the mass and radius of these planets. Many observers measure the mass and radius. So we know that the density of these planets are consistent with 50% water plus 50% rocky composition. So that's number one. And the second constraint we have is from our understanding of the chemistry of planetary formation. So we know that the solar system, all the planets formed in a disk that's orbiting around the protosun. And within the disk, there is a feature called snow line. Basically, what it means is that snow line is where the ice can form, can condense from the vapor phase into solid phase. So any planets formed beyond the snow line, they are expected to have a huge amount of ice. So that's how we infer that these water worlds that we observe, they should be water worlds, basically.
I mean, you're not talking about just a little bit of water. As you said, these are truly water worlds. You said up to 50% of the planet would be water. First of all, that seems huge, but it also seems like if this is a discovery, essentially, coming out of this basic information that, as you said, many people are measuring the size and the mass of these planets, anybody could have figured this out at any time. How much of a surprise is this?
So it is both a surprise, but also not a surprise, because chemically speaking, water is very abundant in the universe, because water is H2O, right? It's two hydrogen atoms plus one oxygen atom. So hydrogen, as we know, is the most abundant element in the universe. It's the primordial element born from the Big Bang. And oxygen is actually the third most abundant element. So when you combine the first abundant element with the third most abundant element, you expect to find a lot of water in the universe. And observationally, actually, we find water everywhere in the universe. Like, they exist in the nebula. They participate in the planet formation, in star formation. So we kind of have that impression that water is precious. That's because our inner solar system lack water. But in fact, water is quite abundant in the universe. So whenever the conditions are right, you should expect to accrete a lot of water ice. And in fact, in our solar system, we do have these examples. Like, for example, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, these giant planets, they all expected to have a core which is on the order of Turner's mass. And that core is likely a mixture of rock plus water ice, plus other ice. And all, of course, they also have their own mini satellite system. Like, Jupiter has the four big moons, the Galilean moons, right? Io, Europa, Callisto, and Ganymede. And in fact, we know that the Callisto and Ganymede, they are probably one-third to one-half of ice by mass. And Europa is the planet that has surface ice and probably an ocean layer underneath. So all these outer solar system satellites have significant amount of water or ice.
We think of the Earth as the blue marble, a watery planet, but when it comes down to it, way less than 1% by weight of our planet is actually water. These other planets that you're talking about are in a totally different class, hundreds of times more water on these other planets.
So on these planets, they would not be like a solid rocky land surface. It would be completely covered by maybe hundreds or even thousands of kilometers thick of water layer. It's not necessarily liquid water. It's probably, as you go down deep enough, the pressure is high enough, so it will force the liquid or fluid into solid ice. But it's not ordinary ice. It's some other crystal structure of ice.
Created by pressure, not by temperature.
Yes, created by pressure.
So then is that the thinking that a lot of these exoplanets that you're seeing, seem like they're water worlds? Is it probably mostly ice, or is there liquid? Is there water vapor? What do you think the form of that water is?
Okay, so in the deep interior, it's probably some kind of high-pressure ice phase. But near the surface, there is likely a liquid or fluid layer, depending on the temperature, and then a vapor layer on top. So these water worlds we find typically range in temperature from 500 Kelvin to 700 Kelvin. So they are somewhat hotter than Earth.
What would Earth's temperature be in Kelvin?
Oh, okay. Yeah, so Earth's temperature is like 300 Kelvin. So these water worlds are like 200 or 300 degrees Celsius hotter than Earth.
Wow.
At the very top.
What does that say about the potential for life on some of these other planets? I mean, water's an important building block, but maybe not boiling water. Does this maybe make life seem more likely or less likely on some of these exoplanets?
So I think the simple answer is we don't know. Because on Earth, I think there are thermophile life which can exist at hotter environments. But there could be. So the very top of the planet receives the radiation from the star, and that's how it's so hot. But in certain depths of the interior, maybe the temperature is even lower. So the simple answer is I don't know. Maybe there is a certain layer inside the planet where it is appropriate, both temperature-wise and pressure-wise, to have some form of life.
This work is not yet peer-reviewed and published, but you presented it recently at a conference in Boston. How have your colleagues and the rest of the field responded to this?
Yes, so this was presented at the Goldschmidt conference in Boston, and the paper is currently under review. So I've talked to a lot of people at the conference, and also they've brought a lot of interesting points. So geochemically speaking and cosmochemically speaking, our results make a lot of sense. Alternatively, you could explain these 2 to 4 Earth radii planets by adding a percent level of hydrogen helium envelope on a rocky core. So this is the alternative picture called gas dwarf.
Is there any way to more definitively distinguish which one is the actual case, whether you have water worlds or these solid cores and gassy planets?
So there is a mission that was just launched by MIT and NASA. It's called TESS, T-E-S-S. So we hope this mission will find more of these intermediate-sized planets in between 2 and 4 Earth radii. And TESS is going to find many of these planets orbiting around brighter stars, which will make it easier for ground-based follow-up to measure the mass of these planets. And some of them may be more appropriate for Hubble Space Telescope and also for the JWST Space Telescope. to be launched in a few years to analyze their atmospheric composition. So we hope that perhaps the atmospheric measurement of these planets can tell us more about their interior.
That's Li Zeng. He's SIMONS postdoctoral fellow in the Department of Earth and Planetary Sciences at Harvard University. Thanks so much for talking with us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Up next, a computer model that could point to ways of getting the nation's opioid crisis under control. Living Lab Radio continues after a short break.